Happy to be joined now by Dieter Kurtenbach, senior writer for Fox Sports. Dieter, thanks for this. Are you one of those that's really impressed with what the Raptors have done leading into today's trade deadline?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Serge Ibaka trade. I thought that's one of those moves that you just have to make if you're the Raptors at this point in the season. And I've been a big PJ Tucker fan for a long time. I think he represents something maybe a little bit bigger than himself, which is sort of the positionless basketball ideal. He's a guy who can guard four positions fairly effectively at the center. He's just the prototypical wing. He's not special. I mean, he's not going to give you anything that's going to turn a series against the Cavs, but he just makes the Raptors one player deeper, and that's and more versatile, and that's just something that you can't have enough of. And to get out of Sullinger's contract and only have to move 2 second-round picks, that was a coup. That was just a great deal.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe those – and, hey, Tucker himself is a second-rounder. Maybe those second-rounders turn into something. But, yeah, to really give up – I mean, to call Sullinger a rotation piece on this team is maybe a misnomer, because he has a bunch of DNP CDs since he came back off that injury as well. They gave up essentially nothing off the roster for Tucker. And, of course, Ibaka a little bit different. And Terrence Ross is a nice player, and they gave up a first-round pick in that deal. But that they still have a first-round pick in this apparently loaded – draft of 2017, and they still made the acquisitions they did is pretty impressive.
Yeah, they just bolstered a roster that needed some bolstering, frankly. It seemed the skid that they were on, and what did they need? They needed guys who can protect in the paint better, and Valanciunas wasn't getting it done, and he really hasn't gotten it done for a while. And they went out and they got a guy who maybe isn't the same rim protector he once was, but I imagine that sort of the blip that we saw in Orlando won't continue in Toronto. I think that he'll be more engaged and really show Serge Ibaka will show his defensive prowess again, maybe not to his fullest extent, but that's the guy that the Raptors had to have. And I think PJ Tucker off the bench is just one of those guys that you just want on the court.
Yeah.
And he might not chip in, but you know, a couple points a game or a couple assists, but he's not going to show up on the box score, but you're going to know when he's in the game. He makes an impact in so many different ways. I've always likened him to like a super poor man's Draymond Green. And I mean, like maybe a homeless man's
Draymond Green. There you go.
But that's high praise from me, because I think Draymond Green is just the best.
Yeah, I think most people do. So, I mean, it's hard to view this in a vacuum too, right? Because so much attention was on the Celtics, and would they pull the trigger on something massive considering the asset they have? That's the Nets' first round pick this year, which could be the first overall. They held on to it, maybe not by their own choice. They couldn't figure anything out for Jimmy Butler. They couldn't figure anything out for Paul George. The biggest trade outside of what the Raptors were able to pull off was in the Western Conference. I mean, where does this put the Raptors in the East in your mind after pulling off these two deals?
I think that even when the Ibaka trade went down, I said that the Raptors were the team to worry about if you're the Cavs, especially when you consider what the Cavs are going through right now, which maybe Kevin Love comes back and J.R. Smith come back and they're 100% and they're able to get into rhythm, you know, before the second or third round of the playoffs, and there are no problems. Or maybe not. I mean, we just don't know. And that's why I thought that the Raptors had to make that deal for Ibaka. Like, the windows that you get are small.
Yeah.
And the Raptors are right there. And, it, you know, going down the line, there's not a lot that can be said of, oh, well, they'll be right here for the next 4 or 5 years. No, the window is now for the Raptors. And that sucks, because you have LeBron James in the same conference. But you see Kevin Love go down, it's like, you got to make a move. And I don't know if it was an ipso facto scenario or what, but I felt for a long time that I felt the Raptors were the team that could really contend with Cleveland. I've thought that all year. Even when they went into the blip, I think they'll pull out of it and it'll be fine. But I think that getting Ibaka just gets them one game closer. So if they, you know, won a game or two last year, they might be able to get three this year. And if you put yourself in that situation, you just don't know. So, it's absolutely, I think, Toronto 2 and Boston 3. Now, if Boston had gotten George or Jimmy Butler, we'd be talking a whole different ball game. But there's some theories on that for sure.
Yeah, there are. One of them is that Paul George, when he's a free agent, which won't be for another couple of years, he's under contract for 2 more years. But the report was today that it's known around the NBA that when he hits free agency, he's headed to the Lakers no matter what, which seems dumb on his part if that is the case. Can you kind of lose your negotiating power if yeah. that's the deal? But I wonder how much of a holdup that was, if that was the reason that the Pacers couldn't figure something out.
Yeah, it sounds to me as if the Pacers have been big ever since the new CBA came out. They thought that was a win for them, that they can give 35% of the cap to Paul George. Now, Paul George might not make the all-NBA status that's necessary to get 35%, which changes the entire paradigm, but just presuming that he does, the Pacers have felt really good about their ability to re-sign him. So I don't know if I'd read too much into the Lakers thing or not. That's been looming for a long time, by the way. So
yeah,
that's really not anything new. I think it has more to do with the fact that Danny Ainge doesn't want to give up that Celtics, that Nets pick that they have. And it's like, I get it, and at the same time, I don't. You see that the Raptors saw a window, however small it might be, or non-existent it might be, and they made the move. And it's not, you know, for a necessary superstar, but it does add a really significant piece to a team that's clearly showing that they're going for a title. I'm not sure Boston's treading water here.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they don't think, hey, you know, we're not going to beat LeBron even if we do make this move, so we might as well extend our window for as long as possible. I mean, I'm starting to think that that's the case.
That's good. That's a little bit nutty, though, isn't it? And also to think, okay, I know that so much has been said about this draft class being deep and it being great, and maybe you get a great player one, but that the odds of that player being as good or better than Paul George, like, what are the odds? They're definitely below 50%, right?
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of taking chances in the draft, because for every Kevin Durant, you have one Greg Oden. And
yep.
It's like, we know what Paul George is in the NBA. We know what Jimmy Butler is.
Yep.
They're top 10 players in the NBA. You know how hard the top 10 players in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. If they were coming out every year, there wouldn't be an issue. People would just be hoarding draft picks and there wouldn't be any problems. But that's not how it works. So, but if you do go in on a guy like Jimmy Butler or Paul George, if you're Boston, then you're thinking, okay, Isaiah Thomas's contract's going to come up soon. Al Horford was signed old. So you're really just working with him for the entire length of his contract, which I think goes 4 more years here.
Yeah,
that's your window. Because as soon as Horford's contract's up, it just throws it all into turmoil. That's your core. You have to win when that core is together. And they're not spaced out correctly enough to where it really isn't just a 4-year window. LeBron's going to be 36. I mean, how much decline can you expect? So I'm starting to lend a little, you know, when I first heard that theory that Ainge doesn't want to go for it because he doesn't think he can beat LeBron one-on-one, it's like, that's ridiculous. Like, of course he's good. And then, you know, you just start thinking about it and you're like, oh, I guess it's pretty dumb, but you know, there's some credence to that argument. Like, it makes sense. It's logical if you put it in the vacuum of he can make a bad decision. So
yeah, it's weird to see them not do anything. Talking to Dieter Kurtenbach of Fox Sports. Let's go back to the Raptors for a second here, Dieter. Now, they get the Bird rights for both Ibaka and Tucker. Both are pending free agents, and Tucker's a little bit older. He's 31. He's going to be 32 real soon, I think. Do you think these moves were made without vision towards the future? I mean, I imagine it's pretty early to be having contract discussions with the representatives for both guys. Or do you think that the Raptors might go into luxury tax land with one or both of them?
It's hard for me to see the Raptors not keeping both players. They just fit in so well, and clearly they've been targeted for a long time. And that does create some problems, especially with Lowry's contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what does that mean for Valanciunas? I think it means he's going to get moved. And there was some talk even this trade deadline that they would move him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you probably should hold on to him for the time being if you're going to go for a title here. Like, he's still a pretty damn good player. But, I think it's pretty clear that in the offseason, no matter what happens, JV is gone, and I would expect Ibaka to get re-signed. And I don't think Tucker is going to really pull that much money. So I think that that's a pretty fair re-signing, especially for a guy as versatile. It sucks when you sign a guy who can really only play one position and doesn't really have any projectability anywhere other than, say, power forward. If you sign him to a big deal, because then you're locked into money in one position one role. When you have a guy like Tucker who can play a couple of different roles, it's not so bad if you have to pay him a little bit extra money because of, you know, burger rates or whatever, because he's going to fit in a couple of different places. And that's really what the best teams are able to do. They're able to get guys who aren't just, you know, single lane drivers. They're able to use the entire highway.
Yeah. And, you know, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan almost explicitly asked for help before the deadline. And, and boy, did they get it. Dieter, thanks so much for doing this. Exciting day today for anybody that covers the association. I appreciate you hopping on.
Anytime. It's a blast.